Here on Daf Lamed Omid Beis, and let's review the last point. There were two answers to the question of what's the source for Nechunya ben Akona, that if he burns down someone's Gadish on Yom Kippur, he's free from paying compensation because the Kimle the Rabbi Be'isa Kares. Abai said it had to do with Gzer Shava Vason. Rava had the parsha of Nosein Mizar Lamolach. And the Gemara says, Ikabe Nayu, the Nafkamita is going to be Zar Shachal Truma. In other words, he steals the coin's Truma. And Afla points out that this is after Hafrosha and the Sina. The coin has already received the Truma. If it's only after Hafrosha, it's Mamun Kahuna. It belongs to the Shevet, and there's no Chiv Gneva, it's Mamon Shein Lem Tovim. But he stole the Kohen's Truma, and then he ate the Truma, and he's a Zar. So according to Abaye, we're going to apply the principle of Kimlev the Rabbinei even to Misa Bidei Shamayim, because that's also included under Ason. But according to Rava, who understood that the Torah in the Parsha of Molech was establishing that Hashem's Kares is a replacement for Mises Bezdin, that's only Kares, which is more Chomor than Misa Midei Shamayim. And we mentioned yesterday that the Chumra of Kares beyond Misa Midei Shamayim is based on the fact that Kares impacts on the Zera as well, whereas Misa Bidei Shamayim is a punishment that's not Hu V'Zaro, but rather it's only he himself. So we don't know, and we have no source for Misa Bidei Shamayim being equated with Mises Bezdin as far as Kinley is concerned. We only know Kares. But now the sugya is working overtime, trying hard to construct a case where Zar Shachal Truma would be Be'idna. There would be simultaneity because Rav Chisda requires, in order to apply Kimlei Ramele, simultaneity, and therefore Gonev Chelbo Shel Chaver V'Cholo is Chayev. Because the moment that he incurred a chiv gneva, he hasn't, and he was kona the chiv, he hasn't yet been chayv misa for the achiva, because the achiva takes place subsequently. Now, there's a kasha here that I want to mention from the various achronim. Where do we find the chiv tashlumin in the case of mavir Lamolech, such that we could say that the Torah in this parasha is patering him up from Kimlev the Ramani? So the Pnei Yeshua says that the Chiv Molech applies even in the case of Mavir ben Bino Lamolech. That's a sugi in Sanhedrin. So the Mavir ben Bino Lamolech, the Nisrafu Begadov Potur Milashalim. He doesn't have to pay Mamon for the begadim to the yorshim of the neched, because the kimlev d'ramini. Now let's add the shitum kubetzes here, who says that the derivation of rava from molech is from the fact that the pasuk speaks about the onish of the chote and only the onish of the chote. As far as those who are malim einayim, and they didn't punish the Nosein Zar Lamolech, there's no punishment in the Torah. The Torah doesn't mention what their punishment would be. And that's because they weren't Gorim any Hefseid as a result of Halimu Einayim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bezit Shalmala establishes that Karis is Bimkom Misa. We're trying to work out a case of Be'idna in the situation of Achilas Truma. So we're talking about a Zar who eats the truma of the kohen, and simultaneously he incurs a chiyuv misa b'dei shamayim for eating the truma, and he has to pay the kohen for stealing his truma. So when was the kinyan effectuated? And the Gemara says that this is the last thing we discussed yesterday. Tachav lo chavero l'toch piv, that the zar who ate the truma did not actually make the kinyan through hagbah, because somebody actually lifted up the truma on his behalf and placed it into his mouth. The Gemara says that still we don't have simultaneity, because at what point in time would the ochel bikone the truma and incur a chiyuv tashlume gneva? That would be at the moment of le'isa, when he chews it up and he makes it impossible for the owner of the truma, the kohen in this case, to get back his truma. And the bliya takes place subsequent to the le'isa, so there's that split second in time of a differential between the moment that he chews it and the moment that he swallows it. So the Gemara says, instead of tochav lo lebeis l'toch piv, we should substitute tochav lo l'toch beis habliya, which means that right now, after the tochev places the truma in the beis habliya of the ochel simply has to swallow it. The moment he swallows the truma, two things occur. Number one, he's kona b'gneva, and that's because at this point the nignav can no longer retrieve his object, his truma. His truma has now gone down the esophagus, and at that same split second he incurs a chiyuv zar shachal truma, a chiyuv misa b'dei shamayim. So what we got up to yesterday was hechi dami. So let's take a look. We're on daf.
I see it.
Lamed omed alef hechi dami. Excellent. How many lines is it before the end? Five lines?
1, 2, 3. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the case? Idem matzi la dura. If the tochev put it in a place which is not all the way down, in such a way that the ochel could regurgitate it, that's called matzi la dura, is niheder. Let him regurgitate it. And if he didn't regurgitate it, that itself is considered gneva. In other words, the object, the truma, I should say, was put in a place where it could be coughed up.
Right.
So at that point in time, the ochel, we'll call him, the nitchav, you know, the czar, he has to make a decision, like a lightning speed decision. He either coughs it up or he gulps it down. If he decides to gulp it down, he has no intention to cough it up, then he's chayv already mamon at that second. Now, there's a long discussion here exactly why and under what category he's chayv at that point. Rashi seems to assume that he's chayv as a mazik. If you take a look at Rashi, Iboy Lehu La Dure, which is about 15 lines up from the bottom, V'chilo Ahadre, if he decides not to cough it up, now he's shaita, that specific second, Iu Mazikle.
Mazik would include thief in this case.
No, so that's what the Achronim are very careful about reading this Rashi. Rashi should have said, Iu Kanyale, which is the Lashon of the Gemara with regard to Gneva. Instead, Rashi substitutes the word Mazik. And again, there's a long discussion here as to why Rashi substitutes mazik for ganav. And some say that a ganav can only be chayav if he does an action. And now the Gemara is saying that he's chayav simply for the non-action when he decides not to regurgitate it, not to spit it up.
Mm-hmm.
Now the question then becomes, so why is he chayav as a mazik? Does a mazik not require a maisa, an action? Is there something unique about a mazik that generates a chiv tashlumei nezikin even in the absence of an action simply because he made that decision that he's not giving it back?
Actually, I don't know. That's I see somebody's package on the road and I can safely go take it off the road, but don't.
So it could be that in the case of mazik, there may be cases in which you're chayav as a mazik even without an action. Now, Rashi adds something else which is important here, that the Rishon lav midi of it. Rashi is addressing the question, well, why isn't the Tochev chayav? I mean, after all, he put it into the fellow's mouth. So Rashi's answer is that he didn't do anything because since the Nitchav, the Ochel, has the ability to cough it up, then at this point nothing was stolen and nothing was damaged. So the moment of damage is that second in which the Ochel decides not to cough it up. Nevertheless, what the Gemara's point is, if he's a mazik at that moment, he's not yet chayv misa for zaras because he hasn't yet swallowed it. Now, there's a lot of different nuances here that have to be taken into consideration. But since we're doing a chazara, we don't have that many days left, I'm going to leave that for an Ian Shia. I think I have one actually on YU Torah, if I'm not mistaken. So if you're interested, you can find it. So the Gemara says the following, the Ilo Matzila Dura, if the Tochev placed the Truma in a place that's mamish inside the Beis Ablia in such a way that he couldn't even cough it up, is Amai Chayev. In such a case, the Ochel had no choice but to swallow it. And if he had no choice but to swallow it, he's an Anus. It's circumstances beyond his control. So the whole issue of Kimlev Nirabmine, the Patram for Tashlumi Momin, makes no sense. Lo tzricha, the Gemara answers, the motzi la dure al yedei adchak. In other words, the tochev put it in a place that's pretty down, pretty well deep down his throat, but in such a way that if the nitchav, right, the ochel would have done an extra mamatz, an extra effort, he could have coughed it up. There was a possibility for him to be motzi mipiv. Now, at this point, he makes a decision that he's not going to cough it up, and at that second, he's chayav for both tashlumei, we'll call it nezikin, Rashi says he's a mazik, it became disgusting or whatever, and he's chayav for zar shochel truma.
No, Rashi says he's not chayav for geneva.
But I meant to say mazik. Did I say ganav? I thought I said mazik.
No, he said mazik. Yeah. But he's not chayav that either, because if he coughs it up, according to Rashi, it's ruined anyway.
If it's ruined anyway, so then the question is, what makes him into a mazik? I'll read to you what he says here. Gamim yotzi mipiv, even if he coughs it up, he says, temayis, and it's so far down that it's already mos. Ve'ena ra'uya yosel avaleh.
Right.
So at this point, he's not chayv for gzela. Would he be chayv for a mazik if at this point it's already repulsive, it's not edible? So here, again, as I said, this is more for an Ian Shia, this is not for a Chazor Shia. The Rishonim and the Achronim talk about what's called a Chiyuv Hanah, which means that he saves himself dinner that night because he ate the Truma. Has nothing to do neither with Gazlan nor with Mazik.
Now I understand the Rashi, thank you.
Her Papa Omar, Kigon Shetochav Lo Chavero Mashkim Shel Truma Letoch Piv. We're talking about a case where the truma was mashkin. It was either, let's say it was grape juice, you know, it was the product of grapes. So in this case, immediately when it's placed into his mouth, it becomes disgusting. And once again, he's not chay b'toras gazlan, nor is he chay b'toras mazik, but he's chay midin hanah. Rav Ashi Omar, Bizar Shachal Truma Mishalo, and here we're going to turn to Daf Lamed Aleph Omed Aleph, Vikora Shirayim Shal Chavero. Now Rav Ashi is a Gevaldig Achidish, a major breakthrough. Rav Ashi says, and this is his underlying premise, that Kimlev Ramani applies whenever you have two simultaneous Chiyuvim, even if they are two separate actions, one is a violation of Ben Adam LeMokom, meaning that the Zari to Truma, and the other is a Bein Adam L'Chaver, where he owes him compensation for ripping his Shirayim. So imagine he has two hands. With one hand he takes the Truma and places it into his mouth and swallows it. With the other hand, he's ripping someone else's clothing. There's no shaychus one to the other. This one belongs to the Kohen, the Truma. And even if it didn't belong to the Kohen, he would still be in violation of a Zar Shachal Truma. And this one, the Shirayim, belongs to someone else. So if you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maskil Vekara Shirayim, on the second line, on Daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph, Rashi says, Usvir Leila Rav Ashi, Misa Lezev Etashlumin Lezev Potur. Rav Ashi's chiddush is to extend the scope of Kim Leib D'Rabbinei and apply it even to a case of what Rashi calls Misa Lezev Vitashluin Lezev. And this Rashi is the subject of a very long Tosfos here that starts on the bottom of Lamed Amud Beis and goes through half a Daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph, because there seems to be a sugya in Masechta Sanhedrin, which is not a sugya of Rav Ashi, it's a sugya of Rava, but Rava in that case says that we don't apply Kimle Midrabine in Misa Lazev Etashlumin Lazev. And that's a complicated case where you had Edim Zomimim who were testifying against the father as far as Ksuba is concerned, to be mafsid with the father of Ksuba, and they were testifying against the Isha that she's Chayevis Misa for Be'ilu. They turned out to be Edim Zomimim. And Rava says in that case, we give him a double punishment. We suspend Kim Le'Adramini because one is Moman Lezeh and the other is Misa Lezeh. So what Rashi might be saying over here is that Rav Ashi in our Gemara in Ksubas is contradicting Rava in Masechta Sanhedrin. Rava in Masechta Sanhedrin would say that Misa Lezeh Metashlum Lezeh Chayev. Rav Ashi on the other hand here in Masechta Ksubas maintains that Misa Lezeh Metashlum Lezeh Potter, namely that according to Rav Ashi, the only thing, the only condition that has to be met for Kim Leib D'Rabbinei to pati you up from Tashlumin is simultaneity. If both Chiyuvim are simultaneous, that's called Be'idna, then we apply Kim Leib D'Rabbinei. We're not going to differentiate between one kind of Chiyuv Mamon and another kind of Chiyuv Mamon. That's the Chiddush of Rav Ashi. So now we're going to start the new Sugya. Gufa. We go back to Rav Chisda. In the case of Chalev, which is a Chiyuv Kares, since he stole it and then he ate it, there's no simultaneity, there's no Kim Leib D'Rabbinei. And Shekvar Nischayev B'Gneiva Kodem Shiyovel L'Dei Isur Chalev. Even though he lifted up the chela for the purpose of eating it, but he hasn't yet eaten it yet. So at the moment that he lifts it up, and again, chela, as we said many times, is mutabana, so therefore you pay gneva for that. He was kona the gneva with a kinyan gneva once he lifts it up. And the chiyuv of kares is suspended, is delayed until he swallows it, until he eats it. So the chiyuv moment for gneva is now set in stone. Lema pliga de Rav Avin. This would seem to contradict the principle of Rabbi Avin that if you start a process and you do one action and that action will lead to another action, so then when you start that process, if it's meant to arrive at some culmination, then that moment that you start the process is already subject or has the power of Kim Leib D'Rabbinei. And therefore, in the case of Rav Chisda, once he lifts up the chalev and he has full intention of eating the chalev, he's already started the process of eating the chalev, and we should apply Kim Leib D'Rabbinei at that moment. And the chiyuv gneva, which is incurred by the lifting of the chalev, should now be knocked off by Kim Leib D'Rabbinei. Where do we see that Rabbi Abin holds that if you have two actions, that we apply Kim Leib D'Rabbinei to the first action, even though you're not yet chayav, but it's only a preliminary stage. The Yom Rabbi Avin Azorek Chetz Mitchilas Arba L'Sof Arba V'Kar Shirayim Balichaso Patur. If a person sends out an arrow from the beginning of Dalet Amos in Rishus Rabim and it lands 4 hours further in Rishus Rabim, so once the Chetz lands, he's going to be chayav for Melechas Hotzah, which is called Ma'avir Dalet Amos. And while the arrow's in flight, it rips someone else's shirayim. Potter doesn't pay for the shirayim. Why? Because when he starts this process by sending out the arrow, he's involved in a preliminary action which will culminate in a chiyuv misa. Any preliminary action that will culminate in a chiyuv misa, that first action is already subject to kimleib d'rabim, and that's called akira shakira tzorach hanochahi. In order to achieve his goal of setting up the arrow four amos further on, he's got to send it out. He's got to shoot out the arrow. So the akira, which means the lifting of the arrow, when you send out the arrow, that's already the beginning of Melecha Sotsa, to the extent that we could say that since it's Litzorech Hanocha, it's subject to knock off any Chiyuvei Tashlumin. And by the way, notice that Rabbi Yovan sets up a Ptur and Tashlumin from the moment of Zrika until the moment of Hanocha. Any Chiyuv Mama that he would incur during that period of time, during that window between Akira and Hanocha, would be completely removed based on Kimlev Deram. Mine is Hachinami says, well, we should apply the logic of Litzorech, the principle of Rabbi Ovin, to the case of Rav Chisda, where he lifts up the Chelev, Hagbol Litzorech Achilahi. His lifting of the Chelev was a preliminary step that would culminate in his achila, right? In how you can get into your mouth without picking it up. So picking it up, lifting it, is considered the first stage in the process of achila. Then we're going to apply the principle of Tzorach Rabbi Ovin and say Kim Levi the Ramine, if he is chayav for Gneva, at the moment that he lifts it up, the answer is he's not going to pay for Gneva, because at that moment he has begun the process of what? Of achilas chayle. So Gemara says, there's no comparison. Hossam, there in the case of Zrikas Chetzi, Efshal Anocha Velo Akira, you cannot achieve your goal of Hanocha without lifting it up. So if he doesn't shoot the arrow, it's not going to land four hours later. But Hocha, in the case of a person who steals Chelev, so you're going to tell me that the Hagbah is Litzarech Achila, Efshal Achila Velo Hagbah. Hagbah is really not even a preliminary stage as far as Achil is concerned. It's way far away, because the Boy Gachim V'Achil, had he wanted to, he could have completely circumvented Hagbah, and he could have eaten the Chelev without lifting it up. He could have bent down and eaten it from the plate or wherever it is. So the Gemara now is assuming that the principle of Rabbi Ovin of Litzorech, Hakir Tzorech Hanocha, is limited and only applies in a case where there's no way you can get to the Hanocha without the Akira. That links up the first action. It's not just a preliminary. It's not just like I'm on the way and I have to, I do X and it's for the purpose of Y. No. X is an absolute requirement, and it's impossible to achieve Y without achieving X. That's not true in the case of Hagbah, but it's true in the case of Akira. There's no Anocha without Akira. Inami, now the Gemara is the second Lishna. Iboy la dure. Hasam, Iboy la dure. In the case of Zorek, if he decides that he wants to retract the chetz, take it back, lo matzi umatlo, once he sent it in flight, he cannot retrieve it. And that makes it into the beginning of Hotzah, which is going to culminate four amos later when it lands. But hach, in the case of stealing someone's chelev, matzi mahadale, after he picked up the chelev, he can decide that he wants to return it, or at least he can decide he doesn't want to eat it. So according to the second Lishna of the Gemara, Rabbi Ovid's principle of akil tzorch hanocha only applies in a case where the first action is irretrievable. Not that it's absolutely necessary, but it's impossible to retract that action. It's already given to the laws of nature, to gravity, and it's going to land wherever it's going to land. Masha'enkein, any action, even if it's absolutely necessary, but if you can stop that action somewhere dead in its tracks before it culminates in the chiyuv, that's not considered akira litzorech hanocha. My ikar bein high lishna l'high lishna. What's the nafkamina between these two lishonos? Ikar bein nayu amavir sakin b'sharab v'kar shirayim b'alichasa. And now, instead of shooting something, throwing something in the air, he's carrying something, a knife, and he wants to place it four amos down in Rosh Hashanah. He's now in the process of carrying it. And as he's carrying it, he rips someone else's clothing. So let's think about this. On the one hand, could he stop dead in his tracks before he completes the Avara?
Yeah,
because he's not throwing it, he's carrying it. On the other hand, does the Hanukkah require this Akira? The answer is yes. So therefore, Lahach Lishna, according to the first Lishna that says, he has to lift up the Sakin to carry it and place it down 4 hours beyond. So therefore, this case would also come under Kimle the Ramine with the principle of Rabbi Oven of Akira Litzarch Hanukkah, because it's the Efshal Hanukkah below Akira. But Lahach Lishna, according to the second Lishna, the Amrit, Lo Matzi Mehedele, Rabbi Oven was restricted to a very unique and a very specific case where he sends out a chetz and it's impossible for him to retract it. Well, Hacha, here in this case where he's carrying the sakin, Matzi Mehedele can decide at any moment that he wants to stop dead in his tracks and he will not complete the Havara Stalin Amis. Gufa. Om Rabbi Oven, let's go back to Rabbi Oven himself. The principle of Akira Tzorech Hanocha. Hazorek Chetz Mitchilus Arvel Sofar B'Shirayim B'Kor Shirayim B'Ali Chosso Potush Akira Tzorech Hanocha Masiv Rabbi Barabai as a Braisa. Now this Braisa is made up of a Reisha and a Seifa, and the Reisha is going to contradict Rabbi Ova. Hagonev Kis B'Shavis, he lifts up a wallet of his friend in the reshus of his friend, right? He stealthily sneaks into his friend's living room or wherever it is, his study, and he finds a wallet, and it's on Shabbos. So we have a double issue here. We have first the issue of gneva to replace and pay back for the wallet. Number two, we have an issue of a chiyuv misa if he takes this wallet out of the Rishus Bailim, which is called the Rishus Hayoch, and brings it out to Rishus Arami, Schai Filecha Sotzah. So do we say Kim Leib the Ramine? Well, according to Rabbi Yovan, we should apply the principle of Kim Leib the Ramine here, because when he lifts up the kiss, his purpose is to take it out into Rishus Harami. Well, is that really true? I mean, that is true, but is that enough to effectuate the principle of Rabbi Oven? Remember, we said that Rabbi Oven applies to a chetz because of one or two reasons: either because the efshal la noch v'lo akira, or because of lo matzi la durile. Now, in the case of gonev kiss, when he lifts up the kiss, it's logical to assume that he won't be able to put it down at the end of Rishus Rabban unless he lifts it up. So, the lifting up certainly was the akira, which is a precondition in Meleches Hotzah. He can't be Chayv Hanoch without the Akira. So if we go with the first Lishna of the Gemara, then Rabbi Oven should apply. But if on the other we're going with the second Lishna that depends upon Motzi Ladure or Lo Motzi Ladure, here's a case of Motzi Ladure. He's holding on to the kiss. He could decide that he doesn't want to take it out and stop dead in his tracks. So this Gemara, that's what the Rishonim point out, is assuming the first Lishna. And the Brisa says, Chai, if he has to pay Tashlume Gzela on the kiss. Why? Shekhar Nischai Vigneva Kodim Shiavali De Isu Skila. He's already Chai of the moment he lifts up the kiss. That's called Kinyan Hagbah. And Kinyan Hagbah operates. It's effective even in the Rishus of the Bailim. So, for example, let's say you want to sell me something, a movable object. And I'm standing in your kitchen. You want to transfer ownership to me on a potato. So the moment I lift up that potato, even though I'm standing in your kitchen, I'm kone. So here too, in the case where the ganav lifts up the kiss in the reshus of the bailam of the nignav, at that split second he's kone. He's only chayv skila when he places it down in reshus haram. And here's going to be the question of Rav Bibi Barabai. Why doesn't Rabbi Oven apply in this case? It's clearly a case of Akira Litzorech Hanocha, at least in the first Lishna. Now let's read the Sefer of the Brice, which is a little bit less relevant to us right now, but it'll come up later in the Sugya. Hoya Megara V'yotze, Megara V'yotze. Now, there's no Kinyan Hagbah, but rather there's what's called a Kinyan Meshicha. Now a Kinyan Meshicha is inferior to a Kinyan Agbah. I mean, for this we'd have to learn the first parak of Metziah. But the principle that underlies it is that Hagbah is a very profound demonstration of ownership. When you lift something up, it's like you have control over it. But Mashiach, when you're pulling it, you don't really have control over it. And you're only going to be konit when it crosses the threshold between the Rishus Bailim over into Rishus Haravim. At that split second, the Kinyan Gneva is clinched. And at that split second, he becomes chayim for Melechus Hotzah. Therefore, he's potur Shari Isur Shabbos and Gneva Boim Kiechad. Now we have a perfect simultaneity between the Kinyan Gneva and the Chiyuv Hotzah for Melechus Hotzah and Shabbos, because both are clinched at that very second that he crosses the threshold from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRav. So now the Gemara of Bibi goes back to the Reisha. He says, "Vamai, why is it that in the Reisha he has to pay for the Gneva? There's no Kim Lev the Rabbi Neochinami Neima Adbol Tzarech Otsahi." Then, if we're going to apply the principle of Rabbi Oven of Ein Hanocha Below Akira, the Efshal Hanocha Below Akira here too, how can he get this kiss out into Rishus HaRav unless he lifts up the kiss? He's got to get it into his hand. You know, this is not like the case of Chalev that we spoke about, that he doesn't even have to lift up the Chalev. He could bend down and eat the Chalev, and he could accomplish and clinch his Chiyuv Kares without even lifting it up. And you can't, there's no way that you could be Chayev from Lech HaShavis without Hagbah. So you need that Hagbah as the Akira which sets up the Hanocha. Hence, we would apply the principle of Rabbi Oven, Akira Tzarech Hanocha. And how does the Mishnah say, therefore, that Yechayev, he should be potur? Chachav mayaskinon. Now, from here until the end of the sugya, we're basically wearing a new hat. We're learning Melechus Shabbos hat. We're learning Melechus Hotzah. This is the first parak in Masechta Shabbos. Chachav mayaskinon kagon sheik bio al menas latznio. The halach of Akira is that the Akira has to be achieved with a certain kavana, a definite intention. And that intention is that he's going to take it out into Rishus HaRav. The Gemara is now telling us that in this brisa, his intention when he lifted it up was latznio. He was not yet ready to go out into Rishus HaRav. You know, he's waiting for nightfall. Now it's a little bit, you know, it's daybreak. People might recognize him. Hey, what are you doing walking out of Yenim's house with a wallet? You know, a big fat, pocketbook. So instead, what he does is he finds a place somewhere within the general rishus of the nignav of the bailim, maybe somewhere in his chotzer, I don't know where, and he hides it with the intention of coming back later to pick it up. So if that be the case, he's chayev now for gneva the very moment that he lifts it up. And what are you going to tell me? This is the beginning of Meleches Hotzah. This is the Akira that will culminate in Hotzah, and therefore we should apply Rabbi Yovan. No, this is not an Akira which could possibly culminate in Hotzah. Why? Because since the original Akira now is not L'shem Hotzah, therefore that Akira could never be integrated into Meleches Hotzah. And even though Nimlach Olav Lotzio, at some point he changes his mind and he decides, you know what, I think I can get away with it. You know, it's still a little bit dark outside. You know, it's before Anetz. You know, it's before Amud HaShachar. I think I can get away with it. So at that point, he starts a brand new Akira, which is Litzorech Hotzah, which is for Almanas Lahotzio, and that replaces the original Akira. So at the end of the day, he's Chayav Misa, but he's Chayav Misa not for the original Akira, which is the Hagbah, but rather for another Akira, the moment he changes his mind and decides he's going out into Rishus HaRavim. So the Gemara says, V'chi ha'gavna mi'chayev, you're telling me this chayev misa when he lifts up an object for the purpose of putting it down somewhere in that Rishus HaYochid, and then he changes his mind and decides to take it out into Rishus HaRavim. Omar of Simon, Omar of Ami, Omar of Yochanan, Hamafana Chafotzim, Mizavis Lazavis, right? You're moving furniture from one corner of the room to another. Nimlach Aleim Lotzion, and then all of a sudden he decides, you know what? This furniture, this piece of, this old couch, you know, is, I want to throw it out. I'm going to take it out and let the rubbish collectors take it. Nimlach Aleim Lotzion Potur. Why? Because since he had the original Akira for the purpose of Mizavis Lazavis, he was not interested, he had no intention to take it out into Rishus HaRavim. So now, even though he changes his mind, takes it out into Rishus HaRavim, there's no Akira HaMachayevis. That Akira was the original Akira. Potash Lahoysa Akira Rishon Lakach, because the original Akira was not for the purpose of taking it out. So Gemara says, "Lo tema, don't take me literally." His original intention was to take it out into Rishu Sarab. Nu, if that be the case, then we have the principle of Akira Litzarech Hanocha. There's no Hanocha without Akira. So this was an Akira Almanas Lahotzi, and he should be chai for that Akira. Hence again, the mission is against Rabbi Yov, the price is against Rabbi Yov, and it should have said that he's potter. The more answers, but Hachamayas Kini Kisha Amad. What happens is that even though he picks up the pocketbook in the Rishus of the Nikah, the Rishus Hayoch, for the full purpose of taking it out to Rishus Arab, that was his original intention. But nevertheless, he stopped. At some point, he stopped. And once he stops, then he negates his original Akira. Again, we're going to have to understand that if he negates the original Akira, then why is he Chai for Hotzah in this case? It must be that when after he was omed, he decided to continue and go out to Rosh Hashanah, take the pocketbook outside Rosh Hashanah, and that's a new Akira to replace the first Akira. But the first Akira is completely null and void. Why? Because he was omed. The first Akira continues to be active as long as he doesn't take a pause and he doesn't stop dead in his tracks. Once he stops dead in his tracks, he has now shut off the faucet. He's closed the faucet on that original Akira. So therefore, that Akira, when he lifted up the kiss, is enough to generate a chiyuv gneva as a kinyan gneva. But on the other hand, it's not the beginning of the anocha because he stops and then he starts a brand new Akira. So Gemara says, wait a minute. Is it really true that when a person takes a break because he's carrying something heavy and he needs to, you know, move it around, is that really a cessation of his original Akira? Is that what we call mafkia, the original Akira? Amad Lamai, why did he stop? Ila katev, if because it's too heavy and he has to move it around, let's say he shifts the position from the right side of his shoulder to the left side of the shoulder, urchehi, that's considered an amida, which is part and parcel of the hotzah. It's not a pause, it's not a breakdown of the hotzah, but rather it's all part of the continuous hotzah. So in that case, we're back to the question that at the moment that he picked up the pocketbook, he was doing the Akira of Hotzah, the Akira of Anoch. He stopped in the middle, but he stopped Lekatev. Ella, but rather we have to assume the Omid Lofush, that he really wants to take a break. He's exhausted, he's been carrying around who knows what, because this is the fourth job that he's done today, right? So this thief is exhausted, even thieves get tired. So he gets tired and he stops. And that completely negates his original Akira. And he has to now decide, after he rests, to continue on his journey outside to Rishus HaRabim, and now he has a new Akira. So in effect, that the Braisa now, according to this Ukimta, is being Mechadish Kiddushim in Hilchas Shabbos. As far as Kim Levi Rabbi Minei, there would be Kim Levi Rabbi Minei, because we're going to apply the principle of Akira Tzorech Hanocha. But the Kiddush in Hilchas Shabbos is that since he was Omed Lofush, therefore his original Akira is completely null and void, and he has to replace it with a new Akira. And at that point, he's already Chayav for Gneva. So the Gemara has now a liflog v'lisnei b'didah. What do you tell me? Aval akatef mai. What would it have been had he stopped not for the purpose of taking a break and taking a rest, but rather for the purpose of shifting the object on his back? In such a case, he'd be chai for the original Akira, and therefore he would be part of paying tashlumin because of kimlev d'ramine. Is adetani sefer? The sefer wants to tell me that there's a case of simultaneity, where he's potter for gneva, of hayim megarav yotzi potter is niflog v'lisni b'lida. The Gemara, the Braisa, didn't have to structure itself in such a way that when do we have simultaneity? When do we apply kimlein rami? That's the case of megarav yotzi. Forget about megarav yotzi. Let's talk about the reish itself. The reish itself is talking about a case of amida. When do we say that he is chayav to pay damages because he terminates his akira? That's only b'omid lofush. The Braisa should have gone on to say, "Aval akatef," if it would have been for the purpose of moving it around on his shoulders, potur. Because again, now you're telling me chidushim in Hilchos Shabbos. You're declaring the following hakira. Do you want to know which hakira is the hakira machayev? Is it the original hakira or is it not? And the problem is that he had an amida between the hakira and the hotzah. Well, what kind of amida did he have? You want to tell me in Hilchos Shabbos different kiddushim? Sometimes he negates and nulls and voids the original hakira. Sometimes he doesn't, and the original hakira is still in force and it's still active. So differentiate between two types of amida. There's an amida lofush and there's an amida lekativ. Amida lofush, it breaks up the continuity. And therefore you have to have a new Akira to substitute for the first one. And an Omeid L'Katev, it doesn't break up the original Akira. So at this point, the Gemara completely rejects all of the answers that we've given until now. We're back to our original question. According to Rabbi Yochanan, why does the Braisa say that when he lifts up the pocketbook and his intention is to take it out to Rishon Rabbi, pays Tashlumin, why not apply the principle of Akira Litzorach Hanocha? Ella, says the Gemara, Hamani, the author of this Braisa, is Ben Azehi, the Omar Mehalech Ke Omei Domi. According to Ben Azehi, every time you take a step and you put your foot down in order to take the next step, you are basically doing a hanocha. There's every part of your halicha, of your carrying, is considered hanocha. And that's called ke'omei dami. And what it means, ke'omei dami, is that according to Ben Azai, there's no way that you can carry something and be chayav for it in Dalat Amos B'Shus HaRavim, because it was never an akira that culminated in four Amos. Every akira ended with hanocha almost immediately. Unless you jump, if you're an Olympic, what do they call that?
Long jump.
If you're in a long jump, I mean, I don't know, four amos is not such a long jump, but you'd have to jump at all in order to be chayav. So that means the following, that our braisa is going to hold that the moment of chiyuv for meleches hotzah is going to be the moment that he crosses the threshold. Way before that, when he lifts up the kiss, that's not an akira machayeves, because as soon as he puts his foot down for the next step, he's already done hanoch and he's canceled his original akira. So again, the Gemara is going to apply the logic, the principle of liflog velisne v'nidah, because once again, there's no need to introduce megar v'yotzei, but rather you can introduce a case of zorek. Right? We said long distance jump, but you could have a zorek. For example, let's say this Ganav would pick up the kiss and throw it into Rosh Hashanah. In such a case, his Akira, when he lifts up this pocketbook, is going to be the Akira Machayevis, even according to Ben Azeh, because he's not walking, he's throwing. And you're going to tell me the following, that Lifog Velisnid Bididah, when do you say that he's Chayev and Tashlumin? That's only in the case of Mahalik. But in the case of Zorei, he should be parted from Tashlumin, because now we have a simultaneity between the Chiyuv Gneva and the Akira HaMechayeves. So the Gemara answers, you know what? You're absolutely right. The Braisa could have made that distinction, but the Braisa wants to tell me a bigger chiddush. Now, the Braisa, he was the author of the Braisa was trying to decide in a kind of a scale, you know, which of the two chidushim would be more important to be mechadish. He could have been mechadish a chidush of Zorei, but that's a knapra chidush. I mean, everybody understands that according to Ben Azi, in the case of Zorei, the akira is an akira mechayevis, and it was never an amida of omeid, you know, kol malik omeid. But he wants to tell you a more radical chiddush. Why? Megar v'yotzei itzrichle. And again, we're learning Hilchos Shabbos now. Are you chayev on Shabbos for dragging something from Rosh Hashanah over the threshold into Rosh Hashanah? Salkadak chamina, I could logically argue that in this case he would not be chayev. Why? Ein derech hotzah b'kach. Why are you dragging something which you can carry? And again, all that depends upon the weight and the size of the object. But let's assume that the word kiss here means that it's a relatively small pocket, or a wallet, as we call it, right? So it's not derech hotzah. I mean, why would a person... You know, the Gemara has a whole clarity if you carry something on your head. So the Gemara says that for certain societies, that's how they carry things. So that's called derech hotzah. In other societies, it's unusual. You know, for me, if I write with my left hand, that's ain't der ksiva b'kaf. But if you're a lefty or a south, but then you'll write with your left hand. So here, the Gemara wants to assume that for the populace at large, given the small size of this kiss, it's not derech hotzah. It's not the normal way to drag it. Kamash Mulan, the Brisa says that einochinami. This is called derech hotzah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean it's derech hotzah? Mivai. Well, what's the case? Even Rav Ravei, if it's a very large pocketbook, have you ever seen these ladies that carry large pocketbooks?
Yeah.
And they keep it at the whole kitchen sink, and it weighs more than they weigh, and then they expect a husband to carry it. So he says, it's Rav Ravei, it's this gigantic pocketbook.
Never saw it.
Yeah. Archehu, he says, that's the normal way of dragging it. That's what you do. So what are you telling me that there's a Havmin to hear that he'd be part of?
Just because a guy's a Ganav doesn't mean he's going to be Machal Shabbos.
That's true. Even Zutri, and if it's a small pocketbook, is Lav Urchehu. Eidofinami, this is not considered Urchehu. So where's that gray area that I have a Havavin and a Maskot? I would think it's not Derech Hotzah. Kalashman is considered Derech Hotzah. Ella says, Gemara b'mitzeh. You know, it's a middle, it's not Papa Bear, it's not Baby Bear, it's Mama Bear. So it's the middle size for a pocketbook. So you might think, well, even if it's a large pocketbook relative to the small wallets, but nevertheless, you can still carry it. Kamash, well, no, people might want to drag it because it's a hassle. Now the Gemara wants to again clarify exactly what the case of the Braisa is when he drags it on the floor and he takes the wallet from Rishus Harbailim into Rishus Harabim, the Fuke Laheich, where does he put it? Idiafki, if he took it out, Lershus Harabim, is Isa Shabbos Ika, but Isa Gneva Leka. Why? Because the Gemara holds now that there's no such thing as a Kinyan Meshicha, right? If he drags it, when he takes it out to Rishus Harabim, the Gemara thinks now, which is going to be a Machlokis just around the bend here, between Rav Ach and Ravina, I believe, the Gemara now is of the opinion that you cannot be kone with a kinyan meshicha if you take something out into a public area. Keep in mind that meshicha is a little bit of a second-rate kinyan. You know, it's not so profound of a demonstration that it's yours. So if you take it out into Rosh Hashanah, which is public area, you really haven't demonstrated your ownership, and that kinyan is invalid. So we're going to have to say, by process of elimination, the afke lushus hayochid, that he took it out into a private area. Let's say, for example, you know, again, this is a very sad commentary here, but let's say you have two neighbors, and one has a chutz as his backyard, and contiguous is his neighbor's backyard, but little does he know that his neighbor is a thief. So his neighbor goes into his rishus, his chutz there, and he drags it out to his chutz there. And in such a case, he's chayav for meshicha. He's koneh the object with meshicha because he took it into his own private chatzer. No, in that case, you have a problem because isa gneva ika, but isa shabbos lecha. That's not a violation of Shabbos. You'll only chayav from lecha Shabbos if you take it from rishus hayochin to sarabim. Lo tzricha must be a case. The afke litzi de rishus sarabim. There are areas off on the side from the main highway where they put, you know, let's say the homeowners, you know, don't want the wagons to come all the way up to the facade of the house, so they set up like pegs or something, you know, to keep people a little bit at a distance. But technically, that area still belongs to the Rabbin. You know, you can't abscond with it and make a kinyan on it. You know, you'll pay the municipality, but you can't own it. So it still belongs to the Rabbin. It's just not. It's not a comfortable place for the Rabbin. You know, if you have a normal size agalah, you know, you're not going to be able to fit your agalah inside these pegs, you know. So what is that considered? Is that considered a kinyan? In other words, can he achieve his kinyan meshicha by taking it into Tzidei Rosh Hashanah? Do we consider it a private area because people don't use it? And secondly, is it Rosh Hashanah as far as Shabbos is concerned? So the Gemara says, Kiman, this brisa reflects the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Iki Rabbi Eliezer, the Omer Tzidei Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Domu. So there's good news here, because now we understand why the Braisa says that he's going to be chayv skila, because he took it from the pocketbook from Rishus Habaylin, which is Rishus Hayof, and he dragged it into Tzidei Rishus Harab, which according to Rabbi Elias has the status of Rishus Harab, is Yikush Shabbos Yichav. We have another problem here, because we're trying to potter him up for Gneva, or in the case where it was not Akir Lutzarach, I don't know if we want to say Ischaya for Gneva, it's Isu Gneva Lecha. There's no Kenyan Gneva in Meshicha if he takes it out to Rishus Harabim. The Iker Rabbanon, so you tell me, let's go with Rabbanon Shita, and that would clinch the Chi of Gneva. The Amri, they're of the opinion that Sidi Rishus Rabb Lav Kirshus Rabb Dami, it has the din of a Carmel, is what we call. Is any Isa Gneva Iker? Very good. He was Konim and Meshicha by taking it into a Rishus Hayachim. That's wonderful. But Isa Shabbos Lekha, if it's Rishus Hayachim, there's no Melechas Hotzair. So the more answers, the Olam Kirabi Eliezer. But here we have to differentiate between two definitions of Rishus Harabim. One definition relative to Hilchas Kinyanim from Meshicha, and another definition relative to Hilchas Hotzah. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar, Tzidei Rishus Harabim, Kirshus Harabim, Dami, Hani, that's only Lunyan Chiyuv de Shabbos. In other words, as far as Shabbos is concerned, if this is a public area, and it's registered as such in the records, that makes it Rishus Harabim. You're going to be chayav if you take it into Tzidei Rishus Harabim. Why? The Zimnin Dedachi Bei Rab the Isle of Hassan. And if there's a flow, a very heavy flow of traffic on any particular moment going through Rishus Harabim, then people will use this uncomfortable area called Tzidei Rishus Harabim. And that's enough to give it the status, as far as Shabbos is concerned, of Rishus Harabim, and he's chayav for Shabbos. I'm a Indian mikne, but as far as Kinyan Meshicha is concerned, does it have the status of Rishus Harabim? And in that case, you would undermine the Kinyan, because there's no Kinyan Meshicha in Rishus Harabim. Kani, my time, but why is it considered like a private area as far as Kinyanim is concerned? As far as Shabbos is concerned, Zimna Dedachi Bei Rabim, sometimes the Rabim go in there, therefore it has a status which is the Rabim Yiskayo. But as far as Kinyanim is concerned, we're going to say it has the status which is Hayachid, my high, why should it be so? My time of the Lo Shchichi Rabim, because in order to demonstrate your ownership, you have to take it to a place where it's comfortable, with the flow of traffic, with normal, in a normal situation, the Rabim use that area. And
you mean don't use?
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the clock and trying to fit everything in. So give me one more minute, and then I'll let you go. He says the following: in order to demonstrate his ownership, this is called Erishus Hayochid, and he can be koned. My time adol lo shchicha be rabim. In other words, he doesn't expect to find rabim there. So as far as the actual use on a general day-by-day basis, you know, moment-to-moment, hour-to-hour, most people are not going in there. They're not using that area. It's really separated, and it's off the dead center. And in that case, he could be kona kinyan meshicha by taking it into Tzidei Rishus Harabim, because it's a place that's lo shchicha be rabim. As far as Shabbos is concerned, we're going to establish that this area, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is Rishus Harabim, and he's chayv because zimnin didochi be rabim. Again, it might have to do also with the fact that the area is owned by the rabbim. But if we add another element into the equation, that's zimnin didochi be rabim, that's enough to maintain the status of Rishus Harabim. So when the owner of the house puts his peg up, he's not mafkia the shame Rishus Harabim, and in Shabbos will be chayv. But as far as kinyanim are concerned, he is going to be kona here because it has the status of Rishus Hayochid. And the reason for that is because it's low shchicha. So let me just take this opportunity to wish everyone not only a great Shabbos, but a meaningful fast and a meaningful Tisha B'Av. We should be